Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason Lloyd is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason, how are you? What's going on?
Good. Good, buddy. How are you?
That was a very succinct, good. That was it. I thought we were going to go into some rant or something interesting, and you was just good. That was it. We move on.
Just good.
I got
keep
nothing.
It, keep it moving.
Yeah, I was in a college broadcasters conference today. They were asking about about different guests. I said, well, you know, like how much do you schmooze with a guest versus hard-hitting questions? And I said, well, today we got Jason Lloyd on. He's a good friend. We'll be schmoozing for a while, and all we get is good. I guess we can't schmooze with you.
Well, it's raining out. It's been a crappy weekend. It rained all weekend. What do you want from me?
Listen, hey, you got hyped by Roto World for being a respected Cleveland reporter. I thought you'd be more excited.
That was funny. You sent me that text last night. It's a high bar. Glad I
That's
cleared
right.
it.
No doubt. Jason, part of a column with Zach Meisel, and now I forgot who the third person worked on that was. I want to give
Bill
him credit.
Shea, he's our business writer. He does a lot with our business side, sports business.
Right. And you guys wrote a column today, obviously, about Indians ownership, the future of baseball in Cleveland. And we'll talk about the Cavs stuff because you wrote about Colin Sexton, obviously, as well. But let's start with this. First of all, the idea of the Indians leaving Cleveland. I know that if the minority owner comes in and he's not from the area and at some point down the line buys the team, that's always going to be a fear for fans. But it seems to me, and you seem to state this here in the column, and it always seemed to me that ultimately the Indians moving out of Cleveland, I think, is very unlikely, Jason. What say you to that?
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. And we've kind of felt that way for a while. The lease extension, obviously, is a big concerning factor. And I understand why Cleveland fans would have, you know, PTSD over losing the team after what happened with the Browns. This is a completely different scenario. There's no stadium issue. You know, the owners don't have a ton of money, which is similar to Modell of the 90s, but it's just a completely different setup. So, you know, the Nashville was the big rumor that the Indians would be going to Nashville. I called John Lohr, the director of Music City Baseball. He's the guy who's trying to bring baseball to Nashville. I talked to John in December. That's how long we've been working on this. In December, right. John told me, I've never had one conversation with anybody about Cleveland. And in fact, I circled back with him a week or so ago and said, hey, listen, it was a long time ago that we talked. I just want to make sure that this still holds. He's like, yeah, no, it's not, nothing's changed. We have not had a conversation with Cleveland. When the lease deal gets done, which I think it will be sooner than later, at least when it's agreed upon by all parties, which should happen sooner than later, you know, I think fans should be able to breathe a sigh of relief. Once the lease is locked up, this team's not going anywhere.
Plus, I would think, you know, Jason, beyond what you said there, which is obviously gives people reassurance, and you mentioned in the column, and it's true, Oakland and Tampa Bay have much bigger issues than Cleveland does. Not to mention, which you also reference in the article, is the fact that teams don't move in baseball. And the other sports, it happens more often. In my lifetime, the Expos moving to Washington, becoming the Nationals, is the only time a team has moved.
And technically, that wasn't even a normal move. The team was owned by Major League Baseball, and it contracted, and the Nationals technically were an expansion team. So, yeah, baseball teams don't move. There's a long history of antitrust laws of is a big part of the reason why. Here locally, there's the Art Modell law that was enacted after the Browns left that makes it incredibly difficult. That's why the Crew are still in Columbus, because Haslam swooped in and bought the Crew and stopped that team from moving to Texas. So there's a wide range of reasons as to why the Indians are not going anywhere. Oakland and Tampa have really bad stadium issues. That really is what usually drives teams moving, usually, not always, is the fact that a team needs a new stadium for whatever reason, and the taxpayers won't pay for it for whatever reason. And that a lot of times fuels these moves. That's not the case here. Nobody in Cleveland is expecting them to build a new stadium. The city leaders understand that's not realistic. That's never going to happen. There's nothing wrong with Progressive Field. It needs some updates. It needs some refurbishments. It's a 30-year-old building, but this is not a building that's falling down or needs replaced. And so for a wide variety of reasons, we could do a whole 5-hour show on why they're not moving. But the bottom line is this team is not going anywhere.
Jason, do the Dolans like owning the Indians? Do they actually enjoy owning this baseball team?
Yeah, I think they do. And, you know, obviously they catch a lot of grief over the payroll. That's obvious. And I'm sure that's hurtful in a lot of ways. But do they enjoy owning it? Yeah. If they didn't enjoy it, I think they'd get out. I think they'd collect their billion and get out of the game. So, you know, I think that they take a lot of community pride in owning that. You know, as we wrote the story, Paul Dolan says all the time, he's a fifth-generation Clevelander. He points that out to people that, you know, he's from here. He loves it here. He'll always stay here. And, you know, they need help. I think we've made that clear, and we've got more coming. You know, we've got other pieces that are coming down the line on this topic of why they can't do it alone anymore. And baseball is not a mom-and-pop shop. They are a mom-and-pop shop in a billionaire's world, and that makes it incredibly difficult. But, you know, Adam, you and I have talked about this a million times. In terms of running a professional sports franchise, they're the best in town at doing it, and it's not even close. It's the spending that obviously trips them up, and that's where, you know, they can't keep up with some of these other teams. But in terms of the culture that they establish, in terms of the stability that they provide, it's the best-run team in town.
Yeah, I mean, we debated last week. Dustin and I debated Dan Gilbert versus Dolan. He went with Gilbert. I went with Dolan, even though I've been highly critical of Dolan recently because the payroll is absurd at this point. You know,
yeah,
when he was, you know, for those few years where he was at 120, 130 million, okay, that's fine. And I still don't buy this nonsense that they're losing money. I'll never believe that. Nobody could ever convince me of that. But certainly, if they got a minority owner in again, as they did in the past, I would think that would give them an infusion of cash and maybe the payroll will go up again. How close do you think they are? You mentioned one guy in the article, some guy out of New Jersey whose name is escaping me now, who could possibly come in as a minority owner and he's got a lot of money. Do you think this is something we could see in the next calendar year?
Yeah, I do. Whether it's Stanley Middleman or somebody else, you know, Stanley's the guy. He's the CEO and founder of Freedom Mortgage, another mortgage company like Dan Gilbert. Not nearly as much money as what Dan has now, but you know, same circle of people. And you know, it's funny because you know when you talk about minority ownership and what's the benefit? Like, why would someone want to be a minority owner in a team? And I've had that conversation. I've talked to minority owners in sports franchises. Like, why do this? And you know, honestly, a lot of times there's not a lot of benefit to it. It's an ego stroke to be able to say that you own a professional sports franchise or you're part of that thing, but you're not part of the decision making. They don't bring you in on any major decisions. And it's more or less a blind investment. You put your money in, and that's really it. You get good tickets to the games. But there's different. It depends on what you want out of it. Like Middleman, 67, so he's not old, but he's not young. And if you want this, and this is sort of the John Sherman approach to minority ownership, that you know he wanted his own major league franchise, so he comes in with the Dolans, and there's an agreement there for him to eventually take over. Although it was never ironclad that like in 3 to 5 years or whatever it is, it was really at Paul's discretion of how fast this transfer of power was going to go. And so then the Kansas City opportunity comes up. So he was already in the pipeline. So that's the benefit, is you already establish yourself with the other owners in the game. You're already in the circle. So then when a team becomes available, it's yours. Where, you know, maybe that's Middleman's approach here, is he's going to come in, he's going to be in the circle. And then if and when Paul decides to turn over ownership, whether it's, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years down the road, whatever, then he's there to have it for him and his family. Or if another becomes available, then he jumps again. So that's really the only benefit in terms of minority ownership is if you're trying to get a majority team later on down the line, you're already in the circle of trust.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd from The Athletic. Jason, you talk about the lease deal maybe sooner rather than later. I know that's up after the 23 season. Another thing that has kind of plagued this team to some degree is the TV deal, right? The TV deal was not a good deal for the Indians. They're not getting the kind of money. Even though they have great TV ratings, one of the best in all of baseball, their deal is not great compared to a lot of other teams. I believe that deal runs through 2027. It's probably too early to – I mean, I don't know that they're even thinking about that at this point. But that's a pretty big deal. They need to do much better this time around. When is that something that would start to get negotiated, you think?
Probably a couple years from now, and we're still working on that piece of it. Okay. So I don't want to say anything that I don't know to be 100% true. But you're right. They do need – you know, you would like – you would hope that they would have more infusion of cash in the next deal. And have a better deal. But, yeah, I think we're a couple years away yet from where they would start renegotiating that.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Jason, one other thing you mentioned in your column is the name change amongst the many things that are going on. Where does that stand right now? When do you think this team will have a new name?
Well, so, I mean, Washington said for football it would be in 22, right? So in one more year. So I would think by that timeline, we're probably 23 on the Indians. I would think that we would get an update on that soon. I don't know that to be true, but I know early in the, you know, when this process started that they were expecting to have some sort of update around the halfway point of this year. Well, that's where we're at right now. So that's why I think there should be, I would think that there would be something somewhat soon, but in terms of like having an official name that they're ready to go to, at first I thought it would be next year. Now I don't think it will be just because of how much is involved in this. I think probably, you know, again, base it on Washington's football team going to 22, I would think Cleveland probably looking more at like 23.
I'll tell you, I think Washington's making a huge mistake if they change the name. They should call it the Washington, they should stick with the Washington football team.
The Washington football team?
That's a good name.
People are getting used to it. I can tell you that. Like they were, you know, a lot of people were making fun of it when it first happened, but it's kind of just becoming a custom. Like people are just growing used to it.
Yeah, exactly. So why change it now? I wonder if the Indians would consider the Cleveland Baseball Club or something like that.
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't heard that. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but I would be surprised if they went that way.
Hey, there's a tweet out here from John Heyman, Jason, that the Indians could be sellers here at the deadline, including stars Savali, Plesac, Karinchak, maybe even Shane Bieber. Do you believe in that that thought process?
No. I could they trade one of those guys? Okay, maybe, I guess, but it doesn't make any sense. Like first of all, Jose Ramirez is not going to be traded. Like if they're going to trade off a piece at the deadline, I would expect it to be like Cesar Hernandez. But it's not going to be one of those other guys. The guys that where the Indians, the problem that they're going to run into is with the 40-man roster up to the season and the fact that they've got all of these young prospects that they have to protect on the 40-man, and they have more valuable players than they do spots available. So, you know, you go back and you look at what the Padres did to get Mike Clevinger and Blake Snell and some of those other guys. They bundled all of these prospects together in deals, and that's what I would expect the Indians to do. Like, you know, Zach and I wrote about this last week or the week before now. It's all running together that the term buyers and sellers is really kind of antiquated. And the Indians are not one of those teams that still subscribes to we are a buyer at the deadline this year, we are a seller. I mean, they were a game out of first place and they traded Mike Clevinger last year. So this is a team that thinks outside the box. They do things a little bit more unique. I don't think it's a playoff team this year. You know, I just don't. When you look at where they're at in the standings and the amount of teams above them in the wild card, yeah, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. But that doesn't mean that they can't still be a quote-unquote buyer, and you're still going to add a piece that's going to be around for multiple years of team control. And the way you do that is, like I said, you bundle up some of these prospects that you're not going to have room for on your 40-man that you're going to risk losing in a Rule 5 draft, and then you go out and you get a controllable bat that you're going to have in Cleveland for the next 2 to 3 years. It doesn't make sense. The Savali thing doesn't make sense, especially because he's hurt. Bieber really doesn't make sense. Yeah, you can get a boatload for these guys, but they're still under team control. They haven't even reached arbitration yet. So yeah. I don't understand where it was coming from. I suppose maybe one of those guys you could trade, maybe, but there's absolutely no way they're trading all of those guys.
No.
I don't buy it at all, and I would just say consider the source.
The only one I would consider trading, I wouldn't trade him, but the only one that makes any sense is Jose Ramirez if, and this is a big if, you don't think you're a legitimate contender the next 2 years? Like, if the Indians feel like they're going to be on, like, a downturn, and it's going to take 3 years for the – they don't do the full rebuild, I get it. And maybe they think they can retool next year. But if they're going to have a $40 million or $50 million payroll, I know you talked about in the column, I think you said something about maybe eventually going to 80 or 90 million. But if the next 2 years are going to be microscopic payrolls and they don't think they're a legit contender the next 2 years, then it might make sense to trade Ramirez because you could get a boatload for him now. Otherwise, the other guys have so many years left, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right, and I'll tell you, I mean, the Indians think they can contend every year, and they do. Yeah. Like, they win 90 games every year, so they always...
Not this year. Then I win a 90
this year. Not this
year,
Jason.
No, it didn't look that way this year. And you know, I mean, the pitching staff is obviously in shambles, but for quite a while, they were still tracking to win 90 until, you know, July hit and some of the competition improved. But the larger point to me is they always think that, like, you know, I said this earlier, to me, this is probably rock bottom for the Indians this year, and that's not bad. Yeah. Like, that's not a bad place to be if this is as bad as it gets, because they've still got more talent coming. They've still got more pitchers coming. They still have more hitting coming. And I do think the payroll is going to go up. I do think, you know, is it going to jump from 50 to 90 next year? No, probably not. But, you know, could they add $20 million to it next year? Yeah, I hope that's realistic. I hope it is. You know, and then we talk about, you know, like Rosario's number coming off, and certainly you can at least replace that. So I do think that there's going to be a little bit more flexibility and wiggle room next year. I don't think it's going to go all the way to 90, 95, 100, obviously. But I think that this could be their quote-unquote rebuild year. And you know, the Tigers have been rebuilding for a decade. And you know, same with the Royals and the Orioles. And there's a lot of teams in a lot worse condition than what the Indians are. So, no, I don't think Jose Ramirez is being shopped. I don't think he's traded. If anything, I think they sign him to an extension. And when we talk about the payroll jumping, to me, that's where it makes the most sense, is to invest, is a long-term contract for Shane Bieber and another extension for Jose Ramirez. I think both of them are realistic, and I would like to see both of those get done.
Jason, it seems it's just a matter of time with Colin Sexton when he's going to be traded. When is he going to be traded?
You know, Baskin and Phelps were asking me that, and I said, my opinion is, yeah, I think he'll be traded this summer. That's just my opinion. That's not sourced information. That's just knowing how this goes, knowing where they're at in the process now. And, you know, I compared it to Brooklyn and Jared Allen. Brooklyn was not comfortable paying Jared Allen the type of extension that they knew he was going to seek, and so they traded him. Now, they traded him during the season, but it's the exact same situation. You know, there was a time not long ago where I thought the Cavs were going to sign Colin to a big extension, and I don't think that anymore. You know, I've talked to enough people around the league that I think that they are, first of all, like, extension talks really haven't even really started yet between Cavs and Colin's reps, but it's, you know, it's coming this summer. And I don't think that the Cavs want to pay the type of De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray money that everybody knows he's going to seek. Like, it's the worst kept secret in the league is that Colin Sexton's going to want max money or close to it. Like, the Cavs are prepared for it. Everybody knows it's coming. And that's also what's going to diminish his value or hurt his value a little bit, because I'm not sure there's other teams around the league that want to pay him that. So, you know, if they don't find an offer to their liking this summer, of course they can bring him back. He's still under contract on his rookie deal for next year. You can take this all the way to restricted free agency next summer. The problem you run into with that is, if he does get a monster offer from another team, if he gets a big offer, do you really want to match it? If you don't match it, you lose the asset for nothing. You get nothing for him. So it's tricky. It's a tricky spot to be in. You know, obviously with Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, one of those guys will be there at number three, and perhaps Evan Mobley. You know, either both Jalens will be there or one of the Jalens with Mobley. And the Cavs have some decisions to make. But, you know, Colin, I've said this a million times, Colin is a fine NBA player. He serves a role on a good team. He serves an important role. He's just not worth the type of investment that he's going to be seeking.
Well, great job by Kobe Altman. Blew their best chance to win one more championship for a guy they're now not going to sign. That worked out nicely.
Hey, I've written that a million times. I've written and said that a million times.
Unbelievable. Jason, good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!